President Biden will also be in New York today for a big-money fundraiser. Tributes pouring in from both sides of the political aisle for the late Joe Lieberman. The former U.S. Senator from Connecticut died yesterday at the age of 82. The opening bell just sounding this morning on Wall Street, stocks starting off the day a bit lower. This is SRN News.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about every vote counts. That means your vote, my vote. When it comes to a political campaign, we need to understand that God holds us responsible for the type of leadership that we place into office that's going to make choices and decisions for the direction of our nation. We're talking with Melody Bolduc today. Melody is the candidate for District 7 of the Duval County School Board. We're entering into the second portion of our dialogue and discussion today with her in relationship to her qualifications, her background in education, and what she sees as the major problems in our educational system in Duval County. And at the present time, we have Blake on the line. Blake, continue your question and comment, and let Melody respond to you, please.
Okay, so just a review of my question. There's a practice within the Duval County school system of moving underperforming students into different areas and different classes where that lack of performance is masked, is not addressed. I know that because I know a couple of teachers who shared specific information about that with me. So my question to the school board candidate, Mrs. Bolduc, is how would you propose addressing that?
Thank you, Blake, for your question. So I'm going to answer this really from a teacher's perspective, because one of the biggest issues that we have is, you know, we have up to 25 students in our classrooms right now. We have students who are really low and underperforming that have been passed along. I had ninth grade students who couldn't even read on a sixth grade reading level. And so then as a teacher, I'm going, how do I teach this child to read? Because my degree was in secondary English education. So here I am as a first year teacher going, I don't have training to do that. And so we have passed them along. And so, and this is why. I mean, this is such a complicated question. I'm going to try to answer it and not in a long-winded way. But if you hold school children back 2 years, statistically, they're very unlikely to graduate from high school. So we don't like to hold children back. But then you have the issue of parents or teachers having too many children in a room to differentiate instruction for all of them. And the truth is that unless we're teaching children to mastery, we we require that they master skills before moving on to the next level of skills. Right now I teach students, some of them who come to me, 3-4 grade levels behind in reading and in math. And what I do is I test them where they are and I teach them where they are. But I can do that because I have 15 students. So one of the things we do need to do is staff our weaknesses. We cannot continue to cut staff. We can't continue to cut benefits and pay to teachers and staff. We need to start funding lower on the totem pole. We need to staff our schools. We need to support teachers in their classrooms. And so that brings the real issue down, if you look at the root, is prioritizing spending where it matters to focus on students, teachers, and resources in the classroom. And so where we really need to be looking is at our budget to prioritize those things.
I believe that is a good, clear answer. Blake, one of the things that I would jump in and say, we're averaging in Duval County about $14,000 per student from kindergarten through high school, and it is top heavy with the administrative, desk sitters, rather than that money trickling down to the classroom for the teacher and for the student to be properly trained. Melody and Blake, you might have an answer, so I'll ask Melody. Melody, is it still the policy in the school system for the state of Florida, public school system in general, that that child can be socially promoted, that after so many years in that same grade, automatically promoted? Is that a policy or is that just simply practice?
It is not. So they're not socially promoted. They have to pass the standardized test in order to be promoted to the next grade level at certain levels. So for example, if you have a third grader, doesn't matter what grade they get in the class, if they do not pass the standardized test, they cannot move forward. At some levels, yes, they are allowed to move forward. And part of that is teachers saying, all right, let's figure out what you can do. You're right on the line here. Let me give you another assignment. Let me do something that you can make up and move on to the next thing. Sometimes it's we might weight our grades so that, and this is really common, so that you get some scores based on effort or where homework and classwork might be 60 or 70% of a school grade where the tests in the class are worth less. So students can still pass even if they're not proficient. Teachers will do anything they do to get those kids across the line, because if they aren't passing students, they're getting called to the carpet by their administrators.
So it goes back to the administration more than from the teaching aspect of it. Blake, one of the things that I've always said, too, we need more emphasis on tech education. There are a lot of people that will never go to college, do not want to go to college, and will not be able to succeed in college. And so, therefore, they need to be taught at the level, in my most humble opinion, that they be able to work with the hands in some craft or some technical occupation. We're finding more of that across the nation being emphasized today than in the past 30, 40, 50 years. Do you have any other questions, or did that answer your question, Blake?
No, I just want a final comment. If anybody has any questions about whether or not this candidate is skilled and has experience, the skills and experience to take on the role of a school board member, our last conversation about what teachers need to do, their shortfalls, what they're faced with, should answer any of your questions. Because with regards to what she's offering, there's so many times I talk to candidates who say, well, who want to run for an office and want to make a difference, but they don't have any direct, real-world, effective, successful experience. On the other hand, Mrs. Bolduc has got all of that, and what she's done is explain to each one of the people listening to your show today, Dr. Youngblood, and showed them that she's got that experience, and showed people that she's got the answers to a lot of the problems that we've got. So thank you very much, Melody.
Thank you, Blake.
Blake, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Melody, I noticed on your website biographical material, you say you're common sense conservative. I like that. Explain that to our listeners. What does that mean?
It means that I want to engage people in real conversation. I found that politics, especially right now, even within the party, devolves very often to name calling. And I would rather have a real conversation and let's talk about why you think what you think and why I think what I think. I actually had a conversation with a local former elected official, and he said to me, back when I was in office, it made sense to sit down together and negotiate. Mm-hmm. And I said, when did it stop? When did it stop making sense? Because, you know, we can disagree on different things, but we can usually find an answer that's going to work for our children and our mm-hmm. system, because this should not be a partisan political. And when I say political, I mean political in the connotative sense.
Yes.
Because people think politics are ugly. And the truth is, politics comes from the same root word as polite, as police. This is all just has to do with being a citizen. And as a citizen in Jacksonville, everyone has a stake in education, and we all need to be able to speak to, we all have a responsibility to make sure that our children are growing up to be productive members of society, that they're properly educated. It's in all of our best interests, whether or not you have children in the school system, to have an educated citizenry. When you go to the grocery store, you want to know that those people at the cash registers can count change.
That's right. And most can't.
You want to know they can read the street signs. Of course, they probably wouldn't pass a driver's ed test if they
right.
if they couldn't. But you see my point.
Absolutely. And one of the things you just stated on that common sense conservative, and I'll read from your website, Melody supports the teaching of American history with an emphasis on our nation's founding principles, our Constitution, our rule of law, and civic responsibility. I believe many people misunderstand that and mistreat that and kind of diss it as not being, important. What is the importance of knowing our Constitution, knowing the rule of law, and our civic responsibility? Why is that so necessary at a moldable age in our school system?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I have a civics class, and I have made this because they know the Constitution, they know the branches of government, they know all the things in the standards. And I said, I want them to have an experiential civics class.
Mm-hmm.
So they've met our councilmen. They've been to council meeting. They've gone to Tallahassee. They've been to all three branches of our government. They've met state representatives. They've had a picture with our governor last week. They are active in that. Only two of them are of voting age. But the rest of them are now aware that they can know their elected officials and that they can influence those decisions. And I'm going to tell you that up until about 10 years ago, I didn't know any of my councilmen. I didn't know that I could know my councilmen. Mm-hmm. They were accessible to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that in many of my conversations in the public square, even with my friends, they're going, I don't know how to vote for this person. All I've got is a website. And I'm like, why don't you come to this meeting? You shake hands. You can look them in the eye. You can discern who this person is. You can ask them some questions.
That's right.
They want to know you. I'm going to tell you, as a candidate, it is really hard to get in front of people. I'm knocking on doors. And I'm going to tell you, 9 out of 10 times, the door is not opened. Even when I can see the garage door is open, I can see that they are home. Their car is full of, their driveway is full of cars. And I'm going, I'm trying to make myself accessible to you. So our children need to know that there is a process that they can change. They can influence change in their own city, in their own environment. They need to know who to call when something isn't going the way it should go. And so if we don't have an educated citizenry, then someone else is making all the calls.
Absolutely. And it goes back to, Melody, as I've said so often, especially in the past 10, 15, 20 years, our educational system has become an incubator for brainwashing and indoctrination. We need the children in our public school system and educational system and the process thereof need to be trained how to think and not what to think. And I think we're finding the reverse of that in our system today. Melody, we're not going to call their names. I believe you've got a couple of opponents in the primary. Tell our listeners why you feel that you're more qualified than they are.
Thank you. Well, I'm the only one with any experience in a public school classroom. I'm the only one with true experience teaching children. I am running a positive campaign. I'm committed to truth and transparency. I'm also following election law, and not all of the candidates in my race are doing that. I'm the only conservative in this particular race, and I'm the only one who's pledged to follow the law as an elected official. And that's one problem that we are having on the board, is we have board members, we have policies that are not in line with our current legislation, and that needs to be fixed.
Yes, and that was, if I can say this, and you don't have to respond if you disagree, that was as a result of having a superintendent, Dr. Green, that had made the determination that I don't care what the bill the governor just signed into law, we're going to do it our way, we're going to slide under the rug and not let others see or know what we're doing. So that is one of the major problems that I see in the local school board, and perhaps on other school boards, where the decision is made, regardless of what the rules say, regardless of what the law says, we're going to do it our way. And that is many times detrimental to the student. Melody, I've got a couple of questions in relationship to, and perhaps we've touched on it, but in a little different fashion. How do you feel about school choice? I believe that the educational dollars need to follow the child and not follow the system. And so therefore, my position is that school choice is the best way. Tell us about school choice, your position on that as an educator, and what you think needs to be done.
All right. Well, I'm going to address this in two ways. First, I want to say that students are more important than systems.
Mm-hmm.
Students are more important than systems. And I'm screaming that from the top of my lungs. So the way that I read the Constitution, the state has a responsibility to provide a free education for all of its students. That nowhere does it say that it has to be done through a specific system.
Mm-hmm.
So our state legislators have been amazing. We are, in Florida, the leader of school choice legislation.
Yes. Right.
And I'm a huge supporter of that. As a mom and as a teacher, listen, I'm a teacher who's chosen to teach outside of the system because of a lack of support. I am a mom who chose to take my children outside of the public school system for the past few years, though I have one begging me to be put back in, and we're discussing it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know that they're safe. I want to know that they're learning. I have 100% success rate with my children. You know, they can read, they can write, they can, they're advanced in math. And I'm not going to put them somewhere that only has a 37% success rate, mm-hmm. if I can help it. And I'm grateful that we have that choice. And until we can guarantee that we're doing the best that I can, that first of all, you cannot teach dead children. Okay, that my kids are safe and that other people's children are safe. If I can't guarantee that, then you are going to have a choice as long as I'm in office.
Yes.
If I can't guarantee that you're getting a individualized mastery-based reading program, I'm going to support your right to make a different choice. If I can't say that you can be certain that your children are not being told what to think and how to believe, and that people are not overstepping, and that there aren't programs and books and schools that are pushing them in a different direction than you're raising them, then I support your right to school choice.
Yes, absolutely. Before we take our next caller, Melody, let me read you a headline. Elementary school principal says kids reading porn in school is A-okay. That's down in Alachua County, right here in the state of Florida. Should, this is a very, very loaded question, a lot of fighting going on now across the nation. There are people today that are saying that some of these conservative educators want to ban books. Some have said it's very similar to Hitler style, et cetera, et cetera. But is it okay for there to be pornography in the classroom and for a teacher, an educator, or a principal to say it's okay? And what would you do as an educator / school board member, when elected, how would you change that trajectory?
Absolutely. It is absolutely not okay to have pornography in schools. Now, the conversation needs to change, because the bottom line is no one's talking about banning books.
Right.
Okay. You can write the book, you can print the book, you can sell the book, but you will not put pornography in our schools while I'm there.
Amen.
I will do everything I can to get inappropriate books out. Parents who want that kind of drivel for their children, they're raising their child in the way they should go, I suppose.
The way they want
them to go.
That's
their decision.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then you buy that book off Amazon, you get it from the public library, whatever it is, but it will not be in our schools. We have a similar situation if you look at in our city parks. We don't allow smoking. It's against the law in our city parks. Are we banning cigarettes? No.
Good illustration.
But
I
it's
like that.
Reasonable to say, courtesy of Councilman Mike Gay, who's a wonderful man of God, I appreciate yes. his perspective, but he said, look, I'm not saying you can't smoke a cigarette, but you can't smoke it on city property. And just like we say, we don't want vapes in school. We don't want, these are unhealthy things. And I don't care what anybody has to say about they want their child to have access. Then you give your child access. Oh, well, your child won't touch that. How do you know? Do I have permission to go supervise my child in the media center to make sure they don't find this book that's a book called Identical about identical twins? Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
What if, my friend's twins wanted to read that book? That sounds wonderful. Except that when you open it up, there's explicit sexual acts committed with these two twin girls. I believe they're 9 years old when they have that first encounter with their father. And I don't want my child to find that book on accident. And then, once you lose innocence, you can't get it
back. Absolutely.
You can't get it back.
Absolutely.
So absolutely not.
I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, my comment is that concerning how we spend money, we have right now in the public schools and even in the university system too many administrators in relation to faculty and students. Also, in Jacksonville, we pay the school superintendent more money than we pay the mayor or even the governor. So why is that? They are not worth it. And in fact, student quality has been going down for many years already. However, we keep giving the school more money and more money. They should be getting less money. They have fewer students. So the school board needs to cut down the number of administrators and don't waste money paying so much to a school superintendent that has done a poor job.
Derby, I agree with you 100%. Let's see what Melody says about that.
Derby, I agree that it feels like we have a very top-heavy system. We need to make sure that we are, if you look at what do you really need to educate students, you obviously need your four walls, you need the staff and teachers, and you need the resources for the children, obviously supplies and things like that. But when you look at where our money has gone historically, we know that we haven't been fixing these buildings, and we know that because that's what our sales tax, our half penny sales tax went to. So we weren't paying for that. We know that we're not paying teachers enough. We know we're cutting. We have cut over the years media specialists, art programs, music programs, school nurses. We know that we're not making security a priority in schools. And these are all major, Dave Ramsey would call them four walls type of expenses. And so the question is, where is that money going? And there is a lot of money being spent at the district office downtown. And so part of that is going to be really evaluating and analyzing, what are those positions? Are they necessary? How are they directly impacting learning, teachers and students in classrooms? And we're going to probably have to make some very hard decisions coming up when we look at this budget, and we need some fiscal audits and things like that. So absolutely.
Melody, thank you for that response. Derby, did that satisfy your question?
Well, what I would like to see is a promise from the school board to cut the budget in administration and
Amen.
Cut the pay of the school superintendent that doesn't deserve such a high salary. The school
I think the school superintendent should be paid based on performance. If you see low performing schools as a district or as a county, there needs to be, you're going to get your salary cut. I think that'd make a difference. But first and foremost, Derby, and perhaps you've heard me say this before on the broadcast like this, I think we need to go back to electing a school superintendent. get out of the back, the smoke-filled back rooms where you're negotiating a contract that the public's not aware of, that the general public has not approved, and all of a sudden bring them forward and say, this is our new school superintendent. By the way, a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years later, you're writing a big old check of taxpayer money to chase them out of the city because they have not followed what would be the right protocol for educating our kids. Derby, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Reginald on the line. Reginald, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, my name is Reginald Blunt, and I know Melody pretty good, but I wanted to ask her a question. When it comes to the schools and the things that are going on, I think, and I want to know how you feel about it, is there's no consequences for rogue teachers who go off curriculum and start talking about sexual content and things like that. A lot of times you hear, well, they suspended the teacher or whatever, but there are no real consequences. And the reason why I say this is there are laws that protect the children, state laws. And when those laws are violated, if you or I were to say something, we would be in jail. But somehow the school board gets a free pass to do anything they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Reginald, I'm in 100% agreement with you. I have said many, many times that there ought to be some kind of penalty because of following the rules and the regulations. I believe there should be immediate termination for that taking place. But yet, as you said, there's the mindset across the nation, and it's happening right here in Duval County. We have the freedom, we have the liberty to take this course and add to it addendums and teaching material that's not been approved, not been recognized, not been authorized to be taught in the classroom. Melody, how do you respond to that?
Well, there should obviously be consequences for teachers who are, like you said, going rogue. We have to be careful that we are honoring our stewardship of the students that we have in our classrooms and respecting parents' rights to direct the moral upbringing of our students. State law is very clear that we are not supposed to be talking about sexual identity, about sexual ideologies, about some of these hot-button issues,
CRT and others,
should not even be a conversation at this point. The problem is that we need to make sure that we have policies that are in line with those state laws and then enforce them. So, Reggie, our job once we're in office is that we're going to have to go through those policies and make sure that we create some or revise them to, revise them in order to prioritize dealing with those kinds of issues.
Absolutely. Reginald, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. And we keep praying that God's going to place into office in District 7 Melody with a conservative viewpoint. Melody, one final thought as we finish our interview today. Tell our listeners what part God and the wisdom from God plays in the decisions that you make.
Well, he does. He's the most important part of my life. He directs how I raise my family. He directs how I live my life.
Amen.
And I'm answerable to him as the final authority.
Amen. One final note for our listeners. Tell them how they can reach you, how they can become involved, and see you elected and taking seat in that office.
First of all, please get to the polls on August 20th and vote for me. Tell your friends about me. Go to my website, www.melodybolduke.com. Feel free to call me at 904-334-8164. I'm happy to set up meetings.
Give them that phone number one more time.
904-334-8164.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological